So I want to talk to you about the anointing, because that is one thing that the church has that no one else in the world is allowed to have, is qualified to have. And the anointing is it's heaven's substance that the earth can experience. The anointing is God's ability upon you to do what he's called you to do. That's why Acts 2 happened, so that what we have been speaking about in the last two sessions, you are empowered by something more to be able to do it. And so it's not by your own strength or by your own academics, but by the power of the Spirit, because he is with you, in you, upon you. The Holy Spirit has two positions in our lives. Number one, Jesus breathed on his disciples and he said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." And his breath into them caused them to understand what the fruit of the Spirit is, which is the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit manifests itself in your life through your character in love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, mercy, long-suffering, and it's listed in Galatians. And those who walk according to the Spirit, as in manifesting those fruit, are not enticed by the lust of the flesh. You are able to walk in a pure life with the Holy Spirit, because that's his character in you. However, there's a second position that the Holy Spirit has, and that is the Holy Spirit upon you, which is the Acts 1:8. Luke 24:49 says, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high." And that word clothed means it's a garment, it's external, it's what you can put on, what you can take off. In other words, not the sense that the Holy Spirit leaves you. Put on, get into action, take off, withdraw from action. So you can engage and move in the anointing, and you can slow down in the anointing. And so there are seasons and when you can move with the authority and the power of God, which is when he says, go lay hands on the sick. That is, put on that gift, that anointing to function. And so he's given that to the church for the church to operate in. The exciting thing for us as the believers is to experience and learn him, because it is said that he'll never leave us or forsake us. He's waiting to happen. He will move with you. And of course, we've read in Mark 16:20, you've mentioned a number of times, and God confirmed his word with signs following. So when the word is there, the Spirit of God is always attracted to where the word of God has been spoken. The Spirit of God will always move where the word of God has gone. And so that is a key of understanding, of knowing how to flow in the anointing and moving in the power. Just a couple of scriptures for you. Luke 6:17. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place, and there was a large crowd of his disciples and a great throng of people from four areas, Judea, Jerusalem, Tyre, Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Key in testifying and bringing the gospel to the lost is it's good for them to hear the word of God. Because if God's going to confirm his word, they need to hear his word so that God can confirm what's in them, upon them, wrong with them. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were being cured. It's the word cured. It's interesting. It's healed. It's a process. All the people were trying to touch him, for power was coming from him and healing them all. So here you've got a direct observation by Luke here, saying that power was coming from him to heal them. So it's a flow of God's anointing. There's an anointing to heal. There's an anointing to do miracles. There's a gift of faith. There's nine different sets of the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm sure you've been taught that. So if I try to illustrate it this way. You see an orange on the outside of the skin giving its color, and you identify it by its color shape. Inside the skin are segments, different manifestations of that one orange. You call it orange, but there's little sections of it that you can peel off and eat one by one. It's interesting, those little sections also have the seed which caused that thing to happen. So when signs and wonders are there, they get the very cause of what happened there. In other words, when you eat the fruit, you get the seed. When they see your fruit, they get what you have. And so manifesting these things is a way of illustrating the gospel out there, or demonstrating the gospel. So the fruit is there. So when the Holy Spirit is upon you, I believe this, the whole, all nine gifts are there with you because he is the Holy Spirit. He's not segments, portions. He's the whole. The thing is, we are to stir ourselves up in the Holy Spirit. Desire spiritual gifts. Paul to Timothy, stir up that gift which came to you by the laying on of hands, by the presbytery. So you stir up that gift that comes. So how do the gifts of the Spirit come? By prophecy, by laying on of hands, by ordination, by desiring. And that word desire is not a negative thing, which we sometimes think lust. No, lust can be a lustful thing vertically, which is desiring God. You want him. It's not. We often got a stinky understanding of what lust is. But it's the pure one is to desire. In other words, I so want that. I so want him. Not for personal gain, but for him, who he is. And so there's that holy desire. And that's the way you increase the anointing on your life. And the way you increase it is not just always be academic about it. The greatest way is to be practical about it. Because I found that when walking in the supernatural from that time when I was explaining about being 3 months saved, people getting healed, lined up in this town, doing that, I learned so much. Why? Because in the process of going and doing, you are taught and caught by him. Things seem to unfold. And it's great being a student, but not in the classroom. Notice Jesus taught his disciples out there. He says, this is not a thing that you do in a synagogue every day. This is what you do on the street every day. And out there, while we're doing this thing, we'll pull aside and discuss it under a shady tree and carry on. So I want to teach you on the way. Because if you don't do this, you'll never have the questions. So you'll never have the questions to learn what you need to know. And so also the anointing here, notice that power comes from. So in other words, you are a container and you are a releaser. So they were desiring because power was coming out of Jesus. And other places of the Bible, it says, they said, please may we just touch the hem of his coat because we know when we touch him, we get what he has. So one of the classic, and I know you know it, descriptions of the anointing is found in Mark chapter 5. And if you would turn there, Mark 5:23, verse 22. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up and on seeing Jesus fell at his feet, begging him earnestly, saying, my little daughter's at the point of death, please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live. Notice the faith of this synagogue official. He knew the process. He knew how the kingdom of God happened. Lay your hands on her. Verse 24, and he went off with him, and a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him. Notice the situation. It's said that, pressing in, following. Verse 25, here's a little cameo shot, another movie happening up on the left of your screen, a woman who had, notice it's past tense, a hemorrhage for 12 years. And she had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather grew worse. After hearing about Jesus. And I go to verse 28 here, because for she thought, this is her prayer life, in her prayer room, in her room, for if I touch his garment, I will get well. Notice that's a positive declaration. That's her private prayer life, because the rest of the verse 27, she came up. So I think hearing about Jesus, she came up and touched him. No, because she thought, or she said, as another translation says, for she said, or was saying, if I touch his garment, she was declaring the answer to a problem. And so, in praying for the sick, you need to get them to confess what God's going to do for them. Here's the principle. So she said this, and she put action to what she believed. And she went out. And how did she get healed? She came up in the crowd that was pressing in and around him from all over the place, behind him, and touched his garment or cloak. For she thought, if I touch his garments, immediately the flow of blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of her afflictions. Immediately, Jesus, knowing or perceiving in himself that power, which is dunamos, had proceeded from him, had gone forth, He turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" Didn't touch him. When someone touches you, you feel a hand on you. But someone touched his garments and he felt something different, but enough for him to capture his attention. See, when the anointing moves out of you, you know it. Okay? It's tangible. It's real. It's a substance. We often hear about in the Old Testament, wind, fire, oil, cloaks, mantles, etc. But in the New Testament, it's there. You can feel it in any one of those same things. Those are adjectives describing what it can be like, fire. And so that came out of it. Who touched my garments? And the disciples said to him, notice this, the learning crowd, the future leadership. You see the crowd pressing in on you and you say, "Who touched me?" And he looked around and said to the woman who had done this, but the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him her whole life or truth. In other words, salvation, bang. So signs and wonders calls that. So she got what she wanted, got healed, and then she came and totally got saved. But her life of faith was there in her room. She knew the truth. How does she know that? Someone told her. So here we go about witnessing and signs and wonders. But here we want to come back to the anointing. Notice that tangibly, the power of God flowed out of Jesus into the woman. So here we find what John G. Lake describes, the law of contact and transmission. You come back to your hand, the hiding place of his power, the law of contact transmission. So when you lay hands on people, realize this, it's God's way of law of contact on transmission. How does this work? We have a thing that happens whenever rain is about to fall. Preceding revival, you have a voltage that seems to happen in heaven. You get a bolt of lightning, then you hear the sound. Well, that principle is God's demonstration in the natural of how the supernatural works. So there's a positive and a negative that causes electricity to flow. Positive, battery, container, power charge, held in, goes to something that's negative that is drawing on what has carried. Isn't that what happened with the woman of blood? Who touched me? Someone placed a demand on what I carry. Everybody else is around me bumping into me, but none of them place a demand on what I have. But she said she knew how she was going to receive the answer to her problem by knowing how and what to do by contacting. And so she placed a demand, bang, into her. He is the walking dynamo of power, and she received what he had. What she received was specific what she asked for. You have not because you ask not. Ah, God's going to do it. He understands. No, he doesn't. What do you want me to do for your bottom ass? Specific. Do you believe I'm really able to do this? Yeah. Okay, you got it. Positive, negative, connected on those words. The words of connection. The Spirit of God flows where the Word of God is known. And so she placed them on. That happened. So positive and negative, right? So John G. Lack understood this and he describes it in such a context that he says it's a law. He put it out there. It's the first time I've seen it, only time I've heard it, the law of contact and transmission. So you're saying, well, we bring a scientific phenomena into the natural. No, actually, that was the original. Science is catching up with what God's already done. And is slowly learning that that's the original. And so how do you know the anointing works? You know, right now. You've got those things in your car. Positive, negative. Nothing happens. Each one's by itself. Put both in. Whatever's in the way of that, causing that thing to be fulfilled, gets changed or gets started or gets on, turns lights, does this. And so when you lay hands on something and that person's receiving that anointing of God, which is pure, holy, true, anything that's not pure, holy, and true gets burnt up in the process, hence healing. Okay? It's taken me a while to learn this, Keith. It's worth it. So you, when you pray hands on the sick, it happens. I borrowed this out of there, so it's not mine. It's not specially anointed from Jerusalem. It's yours. Sweet, huh? Acts 19:12. And I know you know it, but let's make sure we get it right. I have done this, and it works. God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and evil spirits went out. I've read that. Let me go to Acts 5:15. Here's another illustration of the power of God. And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number. So, to such an extent that they even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on the cots and pallets, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on any one of them. And also the people from the cities in the vicinity in Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were being healed by a shadow. How's that for church? So you've got a piece of cloth and you've got a shadow. You've got something tangible, something intangible. But the power of God works in both. And so Peter coming out, guys were laid on the streets. The anointing, here's something else about the anointing. It is a canopy. It can cover you. It can hang around you like a zone of power. Where you go, it's there. So Psalm 91, you dwell in the shadow of the Most High. So I think the shadow that healed those guys wasn't Peter's shadow. It was the shadow he was under. So it's a man of no profile, but wanted to profile Jesus. And so they knew that. So when they knew that when Peter came down with the sun, there was a shadow of the reality would touch them. Their faith was in that, like a garment with Jesus. Same level of faith. You see, the power of God goes to where faith is known. When you have faith in God, you have a faith in a promise, that's where the power of God flows. So there are certain principles in the kingdom of God where the kingdom of God happens. One of the things that are lacking in church is the knowing of the supernatural and how it functions. I think in our lives when we got saved, this was happening. The charismatic move, signs and wonders were happening. I saw it happened. And it's bringing the next generation into that low level of knowing that there is something out there which is greater than Wi-Fi and Google and TV games, that can happen. A piece of cloth. So here you are. Here's the battery. Okay? Took aprons off him. Why? Because Paul was cleaning. He was making tents, working leather. I don't know what he was doing. He was, sweat. So what is it? It's the tangible presence of God in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So he gets this thing, he wipes his hands, or what I've done is I said, bring me your tie. You've got someone sick at home, bring me your tie. And in Botswana once I had ties and handkerchiefs and stuff hanging around because I was preaching this. They said, you have faith, this is going to happen. I preached this. I said, okay, you come and take your stuff off me. They all came and took it. I didn't give it to them. They came and took it. It's the Bible. They took it off me, went home, they laid ties and stuff on people and they got healed. Came back the next day, hey, Pastor, you know what happened? These people, they all got healed. Says the Bible, she is true. It's true. Meyerton, Joburg, Zach Lombard, his church, when he had a church, when he was leading the church in Meyerton, Kelly and I were praying, we were preaching. Someone came up after the meeting and said, I have a brother who's sick in the hospital. He's got an intensive care unit. He's got liver cancer. He's got a few days, not long to live when you've got that. But here, can you take this tissue, can you pray for it? And I will take it to him and put it under his pillow and I'll tell him the gospel that you've told us. He's in a coma, but I know you can hear. And I said, that's perfectly right. So we laid hands on it, Kelly and I, in Jesus' name. When this thing touches him, according to your word, as it is written in Acts 19:12, so shall it be. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord Jesus, show yourself strong. All glory and honor to you. Here you are, ma'am. Don't wash it, don't sneeze in it, don't wipe anything with it. You take that. It is assigned. It is on a commission to demonstrate the kingdom of God. You take that as it is and put it under his pillow. Guess what happened? 3 days later, this guy gets up out of bed, walks out the hospital. The doctors called him Lazarus, which means medicine said, terminal, no way out, but God. What he did was he went back to the hospital. Because the people knew him, he went back there bearing a testimony and telling people about Jesus and leading them to the Lord. You see, that's what testimony does. This principle. So the anointing of God is carried. So this becomes a battery. It is positive. It is the cross, the positive. And God wants to demonstrate his stuff through this upon earth. And what it is it's not about the cloth or what color it is or the text where it came from. It's got everything to do about what it carries. That's why a lot of churches today, they try and sell you oil or the water from Jerusalem, and they want you to pay a price because it cost them to fly there and get this oil out of whatever, and actually it's just Kovo down the street, and they want to sell it to you to make money for their ministry because this is anointing. No, it's not about the oil, it's about what you believe the oil is about. The anointing of oil is actually consecration. It's what they did with the temple in the Old Testament. And so when the elders of the church anoint you, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. What, don't you know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? He's in you, bought with a price. You're not your own, therefore glorify God in your bodies. 1 Corinthians 6:19. So what he's doing is just reconsecrating you back into the presence of God. So sickness leaves, you get healed. It's all about the word, the power of God. And so the shadow and this thing. And so how do you get yourself full of the Holy Spirit? Well, one key thing, Jude 20, edify yourself by praying in tongues. And so what you're doing is you're building yourself up in the holy faith by continually speaking in tongues. I say it this way, when you speak in tongues, you begin to spin a dynamo inside you, which is the generator causing the supernatural power of the electricity of heaven to be manifested through positive, your hands. The hiding place. This is the terminal. Changes people's lives. And so how do you do that? By speaking in tongues. Well, I don't speak in tongues. Why not? Draw a line today. Say, I'm crossing that line. This is going to change. And you start speaking by faith. How do you do it? By faith. How do you get the gifts of the Spirit? By faith. Just believe. God said, I believe that head, God said. And speaking in tongues is speaking, not whispering. Speaking. We need to get loud. Break the sound barrier in your house. Yeah, and the neighbor, what, all the dogs. That's it. Yeah. So how did I do it? Stir myself. How? Get next to. How? When guys laid hands on the sick, I was the catcher. Well, I was standing there listening to it. So I'm following you. I'm seriously, when one guy we followed for 2 years, when he prayed for the sick, I didn't get permission. I was an elder in the church. Didn't get permission from the pastor. I said, I'm hanging with you. Rodney Hart Brown came to our church for, supposed to be for a weekend. He hung around there 6 weeks. Guess what? Sheesh. Every prayer line, I'm there. Whatever it was for, I was there. Why? I want it. I want it. Okay, what are you standing there for again? Him. Him. There. I knew all about carpets for 6 weeks. I knew every stitch, what goes on there. I knew every patch. Why? Desiring. Absolutely. Desiring. And so it's putting yourself in that place where you say, God, there's more, there's more, there's got to be more. And it's not going weird and freaky, it's more, Lord, show me in the scriptures, reveal. Because where there is revelation, it is a place of an encounter with God. So when he reveals his word to you, he wants to encounter you right there. That's why he shows it. A father will always show his son and daughter truth when he values you greatly and knows that you'll carry it and use it to honor him. So get yourself in that place where, Lord, I want to know more because I want to know you. Not that I can do ministry better. I want to know you. But actually the ultimate reason of knowing him is so that you can minister better, but it's about him. And it's walking with, learning with. Key impartation comes. Anointing is from heaven to man. Impartation is from man to man. So if you want to learn something, you walk next to. Elijah, Elisha concept. You walk next to. Mentoring, coaching, whatever. You walk. So we picked on people that we thought, okay, I want to learn from him. And sometimes I can't go to the States or to whoever it is around the world, but I read their books because it's safe. You're not dazzled by demonstrate. You read the books and you get impartation through what they say. And the impartation is the wow factor. What? I've never seen this before. Guess what? Eyes open. Open the eyes. And that eye opening is a continuous thing that continues to happen. And it reveals the word of God. And when that happens, something changes inside of you. Yes, you can feel the anointing. It's tangible. You know when he's here. Like the first service, we started crying. What do you think that was? Presence of God. We all respond emotionally. The world doesn't want to be too emotional. Television and movies, because we see so much drama, we are actually callousing and hardening our emotional receptors. And so you can watch a horrific thing and just be deadpan. Whereas a little child watches that where they're untainted. They watch it. They say, Mommy, Daddy, why do you watch that? And they think about it for weeks. And so our emotional in society is being calloused by information and news that is horrific and horrid. The more graphic the news reporters can be, the more papers they will sell, but they don't care about how you feel. But God, read that. As I often say, Kelly and I say, we read the scriptures, we get into the Bible, we get the two verses, we pull them apart, we stick our head up, and we look around over those verses and over those verses. We see the chickens, we see the trees, we see Jesus' feet, the disciples' feet. We live it with them. So you're there, and you look at the responses and the reactions of every person. So when you read that scripture, it's living, spirit, and life. And so you become part of that spirit and life. And so you get anointing, it increases in you. Amen? It's tangible, it's touchable. You sense a presence? Okay, those of you who do, would you come and stand up here right now? You're sensing the presence of God. Just come. And as you come, keep sensing. Don't turn off and wait for something. Just keep pushing in. Keep your antenna up. Keep the terminal on. Can we just make a big line, go right to the end of the church? That's what you were feeling just now during tea time. I know. When it says, thy kingdom come, it's the kingdom of heaven that we're looking at coming, which comes through his word by faith. And what do you think heaven's like? What do those who've gone before us, what are they doing in heaven? They're saying a couple of things. Holy, holy. Or they're just bowing before the Lamb and just saying, we worship you. There's no anxiety, there's no stress, there's no chaos, there's no what ifs. It's all and Lord more. So when the anointing comes, when the presence of God is around you, notice this. One thing that you would definitely define it as, and Jesus calls it, he calls it peace. Peace that not what the world can give, but that what's the atmosphere of heaven is. And if you carry that anointing and that presence of God, then you are walking in peace. You carry peace, which means there's no aggression, there's no fear. And in that peace, it means everything's over and you're walking with the victory of who he says you are. Now, right now, you're in that completely. That peace is all around you, in you. And from that place of peace, of who he is with you, because you're accepted. You're not rejected. You're accepted. You're endorsed. You're special. He knows. From that place, that's where you minister the anointing of God. Because in that place, there's no interruption, obstruction. He can flow through you. You're positive. You're there. You're charged. Because you chose to be close to him. And so when that happens, there's power in you. Pestilence goes before you. Attacks do not attack you from behind. There's fire at your feet. There's that anointing. How you release it is done in a number of ways. Your hands, yes. Secondly, the anointing is also released by speaking. Jesus, say the word. Woman, you are set free from your infirmity. And she stood up. Then he laid his hands upon her. Notice he spoke and then he laid hands on. So it's laying on of hands by speaking. Thirdly, by looking and fixing his gaze upon him, he said, stand upright on your feet. And he stood up. That's the anointing transmitted through the eyes. The anointing is transmitted through body position. Jesus standing over Peter's mother-in-law. He stood over her. It's authority. You know your place. When you cast out demons, you stand above the person who has the demons because it's a place of authority. You stand directly in front. You keep your eyes wide and you simply from a place of love for that person and a command of saying, how dare you invade this person? You are evicted legally by the power of God right now. If there's a manifestation, cool. Because kids always throw tantrums before they obey. When you minister to people with demonic, get them in the chair, tell them to calm down, ask them what their name is that they were given when they were born by their parents. So you know who you're speaking to. And you say, I'm talking to you. Do you want to be set free? Yes, no, yes. Can you tell me that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? That's when things happen. But if they say yes and they speak Jesus as their Lord, then you tell them to cast the demon out. You tell them to get the oppression out of them. So in ministering for the sick, you stand in front. You don't stand behind. Please instruct those who want to pray for the sick by standing behind them. It's not the place of authority. You come in front of them, look them straight in the eye, square to square. Because you're an ambassador and you're a king and you're representing the king. He'd look straight in front of you. You'd lay hands on the sick. You speak the words of this life. You don't beg or plead. You command authority. Sickness. You say to the mountain, that mountain's their sickness. Cancer's a mountain to the cancer patient. You speak to that mountain, mountain, get out. Go get buried in the ocean. I don't want to see you anymore. You're not defining my horizon. I'm not in your shadow. I'm not going through you, over you, around you. I can't. But Jesus can take you out, so go. You speak from that place of authority. T.L. Osborne said this. I'm talking to you while listening to anointings here because you're getting it straight into your heart and you're getting healed. T.L. Osborne said this. What is a cancer? Medical profession said it is a germ. It is an organism that hijacks a cell in a body and perpetuates itself at the expense of the human body, causing it to try and think that it is creating itself in the created one in the image of God. And that's what cancer and tumors are. They think they can do that. He said, T.L., when you speak to that thing as a thing, and command it to bow down and get out, it will. You'll have success in healing cancer. So the next time T.L. Osborne prayed for someone, see, this is mentoring through books called Healing the Sick. I did it. Cancer. I say to the person, ma'am, sir, I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to the thing inside of you. I don't hate you. I love you. This is going to be over. You've been hijacked. You've been captured. I'm setting you free by talking to that thing in there. Cancer, I address you under the authority and the commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. I command you to be dried up right now at the root. You will subside. You will go down. You'll not perpetuate and challenge the Creator himself because you are not the Creator. How dare you invade a created image of God as a man or woman on earth thinking that you're a God. That's called holy righteous anger. It's called boldness. It's called knowing who you are in Christ. It's called authority. And you simply tell that cancer to go, dry up. And we have felt lumps, tumors, totally and absolutely instantly under our hands, Kelly and I, deflate like a little balloon going down. Boop, go down. That person's changed. pray for a man in Dubai. Doha. Couldn't speak. Said he had cancer in the throat. Laid hands on it. Nothing happened. No change. Went home disappointed. Next day he gets up. He's brushing his teeth. Starts coughing. Keeps coughing. And a horrible mass comes out of his throat into the basin. Picks it up, puts it in a jar, takes it to the doctor, to oncologist, cancer, bada. Looks at his throat, you're free of cancer. He begins to speak. See, it doesn't happen straight away, it happens. It may not happen now, microwave Christianity. No, it happens. Because you said, it takes a while for the tree to die, the leaves. Guys, hey, there's no more sap coming. We can't live anymore. We're going to wither and die. Absolutely. It happens. Have faith. He's here. He's here. Stuff's happening to you in your hearts. Lord Jesus, would you overshadow the word that is spoken today? Let that impartation happen. Let the anointing from heaven happen. Lord, would you give gifts? Let us not be surprised or afraid that the next time we lay hands on someone, there's instant healing, bones snap, crackle, and pop into position, legs grow, eyes open, deaf ears suddenly hear, tumors, cancers, cysts on the ovaries, brain, everywhere, breast, just dissolve. Oh God, would you surprise doctors? Oh Lord, would you cause your word to be glorified, magnified, and joy? Let your name be spoken more on the streets because you are a healer, you're a savior. Anoint every single hand with authority and power, knowing that when we lay hands on the sick, it's your authority that does it. Lord, birth compassion in our hearts. Signs and wonders, Lord. Every kind of sickness and disease in this room. You are under the name of Jesus. Your authority is broken. Holy Spirit, by the power of your word that has been heard today, would you manifest what your word says, which is they are healed, that recovery begins, no matter what kind of disease it is, blood, tissue, nervous, whatever it is. Speak healing right now. Captives be set free. In Jesus' name. So I'm going to stay quiet from now on. I'm finished. Just let the Spirit of God linger. If you want to stay here, just as you are, you can. If you have to depart, you can. This is called a quiet time.
Father, I want to thank you for an opportunity to experience you through your son Jesus and through your son Keir as he shared. Father God, I want to thank you for a commissioning this morning, a refiring. And I pray, Father, that as we depart from this place, Lord Jesus, may you impart your spirit in our hearts as we go. That every word that was spoken, Lord, the seeds that have been planted, that we've consumed, that they could germinate and grow and produce a fruit for us and for those that are around us. I pray, Father, the things that for us still need to be developed, grown, and matured, may you water that through your Holy Spirit. Jesus, we want to thank you for the amazing gift of eternal life, never to be separated from you again. And Father, as Keir was talking about our society that portrays things that desensitizes us, even to you, especially to you, ask this morning that as we close, that the fire that has been rekindled or that has now for the first time started, I pray that it may continue to grow, that it may heat up, that the very real person of Jesus, the Holy Spirit and the Heavenly Father, maybe our experience in relationship with you and taking that in to the world, that they too may know you. I thank you for this in Jesus' mighty name, Lord. Amen.